Of course, you're probably not going to put out a new LP at age 74 or go on a world tour. But what if you took piano lessons at 69 or violin at 73? Francine Toter says, do it, do it, do it. She's the author of The Vintage Years, and she says learning musical instruments is one of the best things you can do for your mind and body after you retire. Steve Paulson talked with her.
Francine, you say it's in our vintage years that we can best embrace the arts. Why do you think that?
Unless you were early identified as gifted as a child, chances are that you played an instrument for a little while and then life got in the way of continuing. Most kids do give up whatever it is that they've been playing by the time they get to school or get to high school, or it isn't cool to carry a violin case on the bus. And some people never get started. So often it needs to wait until the vintage years. This is a period in life where there is less demand on your time, where your focus can be better. There's a decrease in certain hormones, which we can talk about later, that actually do affect your ability to concentrate and focus and feel peaceful. So often it needs to wait until this time frame when people go, gee, I once enjoyed playing the piano, maybe I should try that again. Or people say, I always wanted to play the piano, do you think it's too late?
Yeah. Now, you are talking about this from personal experience, right? You started playing the cello late in life.
Oh, yeah, at 70. Yeah, I was contemplating retiring, and I was thinking about a couple of different things that I could do. I'm one of these people that needs structure. I'm really not comfortable imagining a retirement that has nothing in it but time and space. And I thought, well, what is it that I've never done that I would really enjoy? And one of my inspirations was somebody who was a professional cellist, and I just loved the sound of the cello, and I thought, why not? So I did a lot of research and discovered that, in fact, you could really learn to play the cello at 70. And I decided, well, I was going to write a book about other boomers and older adults who really wanted to do something different in the arts, but felt they needed permission because there aren't too many good role models.
So were you intimidated when you first started trying to play?
Well, I was intimidated before I started to play. You know, my kids kind of rolled their eyes, and the professional musicians that I knew kind of, you know, patted me on the head and said, well, you can give it a try, but the recorder would probably be a better idea. And because it's a complex instrument, string instruments are, and I thought, but why not? And the more I heard that probably I couldn't do it, the more I wanted to. And of course, when I got the cello, and I actually rented a cello first, took it home and thought, well, I'll just start playing it. And of course, no music came out, and not that I should have been surprised. But I have to say, it's almost 5 years that I've been playing the cello, and I can play pretty well, at least for myself. I don't perform for anyone else, and that isn't one of the goals of this stage in life. But I can entertain myself, and right now I'm working on a Vivaldi piece in E minor, which gives me pleasure, and that's the idea.
Now, in the course of writing your book, you talked to some people who are well along in years who did start to play certain instruments. For instance, there was an 88-year-old man named John who took up the piano. Can you tell me about him?
Oh, sure. For a lot of the people that I interviewed, taking up an instrument or another art form came totally by accident. And in John's case, he was always an appreciator of classical music, enjoyed attending concerts, but had never in his life had the time or really interest in playing an instrument. He spent his life, he was a pharmaceutical executive, very busy life, traveled all over the world, and when he finally settled in an apartment in San Francisco when he was 80, he noticed that there was a space in his living room, and so he impulsively decided to buy a piano. I don't know whether he was thinking it was going to be a piece of furniture or what. I don't think he really thought it through. But eventually he thought, maybe I should take some lessons. So he decided to do that. And in the course of doing that, while it was also very frustrating for him, because it can be when you, when you're a person of 80 and you like music, you know music really well, and you know how it's supposed to sound. And so it's really hard to be a beginning pianist or whatever your instrument.
Right, it can be really frustrating because you know it doesn't sound like what you've heard all these years.
Exactly, and it doesn't sound that way, but his goals are different. His goal was not to begin a career as a concert pianist. His goal, what he told me was, all of my life I've tried to look at music and it looks like a bunch of squiggles on a page. I want to learn how to read music. And so he did. He had a motivation. He had the ability to stick with it. He had the energy to carry it through, and he learned how to read music. Okay, so he practices every day. It's become a part of his life. It's as much a part of his life as brushing his teeth. And while it can be really frustrating, it's also opened up a whole community to him. And the most interesting thing that I heard from him was that he can now listen to two pieces of music and listen with an educated perspective that he never had before and tell the fine points of this particular rendition versus that one, even how the conductor did things differently. Well, that kind of level of understanding and appreciation comes from learning how to play an instrument and also appreciating the complexity of it.
Well, it's fascinating because, I mean, you're suggesting that there were certain neurons activated in his brain that allowed him to appreciate music more. I mean, there was something going on that enhanced his experience at the brain level.
Absolutely, there really is mounting evidence that playing music, and I don't mean playing it on your iPhone or your iPad or your audio system, can delay or even reverse the onset of normal age-related memory problems in older adults. Not only is neuronal production increased, and by that I mean, when I was in graduate school, there was this belief that neurons do not continue to grow after about the age of 30. It's a sort of a slippery slope after that, and that's the end of the story. That's what happens to your brain. Now, fortunately, we know that neuronal production increases. And also there are connections between the cells called dendrites that continue to multiply. And what you need is the right way to stimulate the brain to make that happen.
You're talking about what's known as neuroplasticity.
Neuroplasticity, exactly. Now, neuroplasticity happens no matter what. But when you get older, you need to have the right ingredients to trigger it optimally.
And you're saying that, let's say, a 75-year-old can do this as well as someone in their 30s?
Well, the person who starts at 30, the one advantage that they have is they have more dexterity in their hands. They have more breathing capacity if they are playing, you know, a wind instrument or something else like that. But the advantage of being at this age is we have time, we have focus, there are changes hormonally, decreases in testosterone and estrogen that actually make people feel more peaceful and more focused, and so they can attend much better.
Francine Toter is the author of The Vintage Years. Steve Paulson talked with her.